Father, we thank you, Lord. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 20. You know, Elijah was one of those amazing prophets that absolutely wrecked the kingdom of darkness, that the Lord had used them so much to, that those who were in authority and those who were in another camp, not worshipping God, in fact, going after other gods and bringing them into the kingdom of Israel. And Elijah was the thorn in the flesh to all of them, to Ahab, to Jezebel. He was just one of those people that, like, they wanted to get rid of time and time again. Even foreign kings that were going to invade, that the Lord had let Elijah listen to the conversation. And then he went and told the king about what was going on, and the king was able to make some provision to scupper the plans of the foreign king. And just one of those people that you go, get rid of him. They sent assassins, they sent all types of things to go on to get rid of him, but they could not get rid of him. But Elijah was a man just like me, and a human just like us. He had times of discouragement, he had times of great struggles. In fact, one time he sat down and says, Lord, just kill me. Just get it over with. So there must have been a lot going on for him. If he didn't want to kill himself, he was like, Lord, would you just send something to kill me? Because he knew what it was like to see the power of God in a destructive manner against his enemies and against the enemies of God. He had gone to a place where we're leading up to talk about. He'd gone through times of where he'd seen the great provision of God. That he moved out to a place where it was a famine going on, and he moved to the Kerit River where there was no water, there was nothing going on in Israel, there was a famine, and God would send by ravens every day just to drop bread, to drop food. Now, that's miraculous stuff, isn't it? That is like somebody walking up to you and me on the street, a different person every day. You have nothing going on, you have no money, you have nothing fulfilled, and someone every day just walking up going, here, God told me to give you that. Or even greater mystery than that, just dropping outside your letterbox. Like, that is supernatural miracle stuff. And I hope to God that you have experienced some of what God does in those areas. When you need something, he knows how to get it to you. And I could spend the rest of the evening just telling about times when God would put something in our letterbox as a family. We had lived, still are living by faith. That we'd nothing going on, nothing, no money coming in from no source whatsoever, and money came into our possession through our letterbox. I built a little altar at my letterbox because it seemed God was involved in the letterbox. And times when we'd no money for electricity as a family, times when my car blew up, you could not believe all of the things that God just sent ravens by. They didn't look like ravens, they looked like people. Now someone would come up, God told me to send you on a holiday. Boom. Sent us on a holiday. Incredible, incredible raven-like testimonies. Could spend the night. Then he moved from there and he went and he met the widow at Zarephath. And where she had nothing really going on, she was going to eat the last that she had, bake a bit of cake with the bit of oil and the bit of wheat that she had, and then her and her son was going to die. And Elijah comes along, this man of God comes along, and he says, look, if you feed me first, then you and your son will have enough. What? Do you know what I mean? It takes a lot to step up in faith with the men and women of God. It's going to cost us something to do what God wants to do. It's going to cost us, we have to put some skin into the game to get what God wants us to do. That is when we're saying in this place we're going to reach Bray, it's not going to happen just by some wave of a wand. It's going to take skin. It's going to take energy and time and commitment and sacrifice. It's going to take something. And this woman says, like, imagine her looking at this a little bit, and you want me to give you it? She bought into it. And she fed the man of God first. And sure enough, they had enough bread and enough oil to do them till the famine was over. He had seen great things. He had seen up on Mount Carmel, he'd seen that all the prophets of Baal, he'd put up a challenge. to the prophet of Baal. He says, you bring out wood and sacrifice, and I'll bring out wood and sacrifice, and whoever God answers with fire, well then, that's the king of heaven. You imagine putting her up to that. He was on his own, and there was hundreds and hundreds of these guys that was worshipping a foreign god, a demon. And so anyway, they come out. You know the story. I'm just building up to the thing I want to say. The story is that he came out, and the priests of Baal were calling on their god. Come and do this. Come and do that. And Elijah was standing over in the corner like, is there something wrong? Is he not answering you? Is he gone on holidays? Where's your God? And then nothing was happening, and they start cutting themselves with stones, trying to sacrifice blood up to this God that they had worshipped, but the God didn't come to their rescue. It was like God Almighty turned off the juice in the heavenly places. It was like God scuppered the plans of the enemy. So Elijah says, bring them out, dig a trench around my sacrifice, pour water on, more water on, more water on. And he prayed a prayer something like this: God, do what you told me you were going to do. He had a meeting with God, and God told him what he was going to do. He says, God, do what you told me you were going to do. And fire came from heaven and accepted the sacrifice that Elijah had put before God, showing the Baals and showing everyone, the people, that Yahweh, God Almighty, is the God to be worshipped. And then he ends up and he kills all the Baal prophets and all the Baal priests. And then we move into where, so you can imagine, we're going to move into where we're at. You can imagine what he had seen in God: provision, the power, the awesomeness of God. God shutting off the heavenly places where the devil or anything belonged to him could not operate. He could see the people coming back to God. He could see the provision of God. He'd seen oil multiply in little jars. He'd seen bread and wheat multiply. God, you're great. God, you're absolutely amazing. You'd think he'd never have another struggle, wouldn't you? You think, my goodness, I am living the life. If it was today, he'd be on the God Channel, wonderful channel. He'd be on the front page of Evangel. He'd be in papers and all types of things. You think this guy has a mate. And we move into a place. Listen to chapter 19. It says, now Ahab told Jezebel. Now Jezebel was a woman. She was a wicked woman. And she had Ahab, who was supposed to be the leader, under her thumb and under her rule. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods, with small g, not God, not Yahweh, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of those whom you killed. Verse 3. Elijah was afraid. Elijah was very afraid and ran for his life. You could imagine. Elijah's running from this woman now. After seeing God come down in power and might at the request of his prayer, of something that he was involved with God, and he runs away from Jezebel, he runs away from the situation. And in verse 9, he reached Horeb, the mountain of God, and there he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I wanted just to say, this is what I want to say tonight, that we have to declutter to hear from God. If we don't declutter, God's voice becomes a mutter. You know what mutter is? What you say? You don't understand, it's just a mutter. And we have to declutter even the good things at times, the things that we know about God in the past. If we don't declutter, that past experience can stop us from going into a new season, or not stop us from hearing God about the new season. And I'd imagine that God would say to some of us, because I wonder how he said this to Elijah, because there's different ways to say, what are you doing here? Meaning, are you lost? Or like, what are you doing here? You should know better. This isn't tell us. So as a preacher, you could take this and go four or five or six different ways with this. What are you doing here? Did I not give you admission? What are you doing here? Did I not tell you to do something and you've moved away from it and now I find you here? Or what are you doing here? Are you lost? Did you lose your way a little bit? Tender gentleness of God the Father. And you can even hear something in it like, Elijah, what are you doing here? How come you've ended in this place? Do you not know my provision? Do you not know my power? Do you not know my presence? And you end up here running away from the enemy. And I'm sure it would land the way God wants it to land tonight. He replied to God. Here was his response. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Can you hear where he's at? There's nothing going right. The children of Israel have broken your covenant, broken down your altars. I'm the only one. They killed all the other prophets. I'm the only one left. You can nearly hear the violins playing in the background at this stage. Things are going really wrong for Elijah. His circumstances, mind started to get cluttered with what was going on around him. Lord, you couldn't believe. You know, I heard someone saying recently, you know, that's the last thing I need. When you say, come to that place, and that's the place where your mind and your heart is trying to tell you, you're cluttered with stuff. Because if that's the last thing, there's 100 probably things that has happened before that. And that can stop us from hearing God, stop us from seeing God. We can start where months prior to that, we're probably seeing God in everything. Now we're seeing God in nothing. It means our mind is cluttered. Our spirit has become cluttered with stuff. And that the voice of God is nothing more than a mutter somewhere in the distance. Between the stuff, between the baggage, between the situations, the circumstances. And Elijah later on tick. And I love the Lord that he allowed him to later on. He looked, get it out of you, son. This is where I'm at. The prophets are dead. They're trying to kill me now. There's nothing right going on. And the Lord says to him, and they're trying to kill me. Before I move on, have you ever been in that place where you feel, what's next going to happen? What's going to go on? Do you understand, those who know that, is it hard to hear God? Is it hard to decipher what's God, what's myself? Somebody said, I think it was Rob said recently, it's at them times we have to stop listening to ourselves. That's the time we start to speak to ourselves. We start to speak to ourselves who God is. We start to speak to the clutter. We start to speak to it. No, I see where I'm at. I see what's going on. But God is bigger than this. God is greater than this. That God made a way for me with the ravens. God made a way with the woman at Zarephath. God made a way up on Mount Carmel. And God will make a way through this. The only thing that happened was Elijah got so cluttered he forgot all about the things. That's what I think God was saying. What are you doing here? Do you not understand what I've done in the past? And they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass you by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And then after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Elijah's operation, if you look through his life, he'd experienced God in the earthquake, the wind and the fire, earth, wind and fire. I think that's where they got their name from. He experienced God before. He experienced God in the fire on Mount Carmel. He knew all of this. And his familiarity with the things of God, or his life came so familiar. Oh, here's God, he's in the earthquake. God is not there. Here's God, he's in the wind. God is not there. Here's God, he's in the fire. God is not there. And some of our old mode of operation of hearing from God, when God moves us into a new season, our hearing becomes different as well. He's not just this familiar, or sure, that's God, I can get him next week. Sure, just come to church and get into the worship and listen to the word. I can just get him next week and you come and you get nothing out of it. Maybe God is shifting gears with some of us. Maybe he's changing the mode of operation of how he speaks to you as an individual. Maybe he wants to see us in a bigger picture. Maybe he wants you to hear them in the fire or in the wind or in the earthquake, but not in just something that comes familiar. See, God is always speaking. It just depends whether we're on the right station. It just depends whether we put the dial right on the dial on the sign where his is. Decluttering is so important to hear from God. Actually, I'll just go to the wind. No, I'm not there now. I'll just go to the fire, but I'm not there now, son. I'll just go to the earthquake. I'm not there, son. I want to tell you something new. I want to show you a new mode of operation. God speaks to us in many ways. When we're decluttered, we can see God in almost anything. When we're cluttered, God could be speaking to us through millions of things and we don't hear them. We're waiting on the earth, wind and fire, and God says, look, I've moved you beyond that. I've moved you into a different place. The way you heard me last year is not necessarily the way I want you to hear me this year. I want to show you something new about me. God could speak to you through the television. You could watch a program and next minute something comes into your spirit like a bolt out of heaven. A conversation. Someone walking along the street, a stranger coming up to you. I'll never forget this story. A man says to me, a guy at church says to me that he was a heroin addict and went back on heroin. And he was taking heroin with this man in a room. And this man says to him, you go back to church. As the guy was sticking a needle in his arm, he says to the other guy that was a Christian, you go back to church. You'd never imagine God speaking through someone who was banging up heroin. He gets up and leaves and is walking with God. You never think that God would speak through somebody on the radio, but he does. Non-believers, imagine. When you're decluttered, somehow you pick God out of everything. Oh, God is saying this. Do you ever get people when you go, God said this to me and God said that to me, and you're sitting there going, my goodness, that person seems to be hearing God in everything. Maybe that's because they're decluttered. There was a huge problem in one of the Arabian countries. I want to say it was Saudi Arabia. So forgive me if my facts are not right. But there was something like this, that they built this water system. Thank you. They built this water system and it was really, really top notch in every way. It was bringing water in and making it pure so that people could drink it. And it was happening in a country that wasn't necessarily able to get water to it. And what happened was a big freighter was coming into the port. And when it came in, it had something like 100,000 chickens on the thing. And the boat ended up sinking. And if that wasn't bad enough, what they had to make sure was that if they didn't get the boat up out of water and salt out all those chickens, because when they died, they were going to pollute the water and it would have affected hundreds of thousands of homes. And then they were afraid that if they'd done some normal mode of operations of getting this boat up, that they were afraid that they would break the hull of the boat and that would cause all of the cargo, which was the dead chickens now, to leak and that would cause the damage even in a quicker way. So they didn't know what to do. A Danish engineer came up with an idea. He came up with an idea to get millions and millions of little styrofoam, little things made out of styrofoam, like little styrofoam balls. And they pumped them into the boat and pumped millions and millions of these into the boat. And the boat rose up from the water and you were able to deal with all of this. And they said to him, you must have come up with this. You're a genius of an engineer. You're this. And he goes, no, I'm not. He says, I want to tell you where I got this idea from. I was watching Donald Duck. And in Donald Duck, a boat sank and he put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of ping pong balls into the boat. And the boat rose and he says, that's where I got the idea. That's where I heard this great engineering feat that his name has gone down in history now as a result of this thing. And you might think you will hear from God in ways that you're like, where did you get idea? You must have been on your knees for 4 days, 40 days and 40 nights fast. And you go, you know what? I was watching Walt Disney. Or I heard a song. Or someone just said something. I read a book, I read my Bible, and I was like, God Almighty himself spoke to me. Decluttering allows us to hear God in great ways. And Elijah heard a whisper. I'm trying to find that little whisper. After the earthquake came a fire, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. When he heard the whisper, he didn't hear what God wanted to say in the whisper. But the whisper caused him to walk out to the mouth of the cave and pull his cloak right over him. Do you know what he was doing? Decluttering himself. He was decluttering himself from his surroundings. He was not now thinking about Rahab, whatever her name is, Ahab and Jezebel. He was not now thinking about his life. He was not thinking now about the prophets. He was not thinking about that his life was on the line. He pulled the cloak over himself. He said, I'm going to hear from God now. I'm going to hear from God now. I need to get into this place where I push everything else out of my mind and saying, God, I've heard your nudge. I've heard your whisper. Who knows what God whispered? It could have been, son, pull the cloak over your face. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to give you new directions. I'm going to give you something to do in a new season that will cause you to have new instructions to carry out for me. And the Bible says that he went out and he covered. And I want to encourage you this week. I want to encourage you if you feel cluttered, that you're not moving because you're afraid. What if I get it wrong again? What if I'm disappointed again? What if it doesn't happen again? What if we have all, if I have all these dreams and I give up myself to this and the prophets are dead and they're trying to kill me and there's this going on for me and these opportunities opening up for me and it's all... And God just says this week, will you just pull aside? Just get the cloak, whatever that might look like. It might look like your duvet. Might look like your bedroom. It might look like long walks up the mountains. It might look like a long walk along the beach. Wherever it is. So that your mind is not cluttered with this is going wrong. That's going wrong. This is going this and that and this and that and this. And you're like, I can't hear God. And God's saying, no wonder you can't hear me. But I'm giving you an instruction. I'm going to bring you into a new season. I'm going to give you something new to do. But you have to hear me to be able to do that. Because it's only in hearing God will you be sustained in what God wants you to do. See, if I ask you to do something, that might last a good 6 months. But if God tells you to do something, the grace of God is attached to that to sustain you and me to last for decades. That like when we're cluttered, the enemy comes and wears us down and wears us down and wears us down. But when we hear the voice of the Father, when we close ourselves in and say, Father, I need to hear from you. I feel the nudge in church Sunday night. You probably even felt it before this night. You feel the nudge to just go away, just to sit with God, just to wait on God. And now you hear the whisper, go away with me. Come away with me. And you go away with him and he speaks to you. And that will sustain you. Even when the enemy comes against us, because he does. And see, this week, I'm reading Jesus, and the devil comes against him. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. He hears God. He hears the Father. This is what we're going to do. They go into the desert. Who meets him in the desert? 40 days, 40 nights, he's fasting. Who meets him? The devil. The devil says to him, this is the cunningness of the devil. He starts off, imagine fasting 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil comes up and he goes, do you want some bread? Turn the rocks into bread. You know, he's not going to come along and say, do you want to run a marathon? I'm not doing fasting for 40 days. He's not going to come against us with something we don't want or don't need. He's going to come against us with something that he feels that will satisfy us in that moment. 40 days he went at Jesus. And then it says he left for an opportune time. You know why he left? Because he couldn't defeat Jesus. Do you know why Jesus wore him down? Jesus wore him out. He came against him with this and came against him with that. And he got worn out and worn down that he had to leave to take a break away from the Son of God. And the same baptism that Jesus has is what we have in the Holy Spirit. And when we hear from God, it's like the enemy can come against. And we might take a few lickings, don't get me wrong. I've took many a beatings in the Spirit. One just last month. A good hiding. But I haven't lost the war. I might lost a round or two. And you know why? Because I have a word of God in me. I have something that the Father says to me. And that word carries grace to sustain me. I may fall down and I get back up. I may be discouraged, but someone comes along to encourage. Why? Because we carry something of God in us. And he says to Elijah, cover yourself in, get the cloak around you. I'm going to speak to you. And in that speaking, I will sustain you in what you hear ahead of us. Listen to what God encouraged him to do, or instructed him. The voice of the Lord said, what are you doing here? And the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. He went into this whole rant again of the covenant. They rejected. They've broken down your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord didn't even respond to that. He gave him new instructions. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, the king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, the king, king over Israel, and anoint Elijah, your successor. And he tells him that he has reserved 7,000 who has never bowed the knee to Baal, that he has them hid away in a place, and he'll bring them out when he needs them. He received his new instructions, and he went on, and you just read on, and you see that he fulfilled every one of his instructions because he heard from God. And you know what? Some of us need to hear from God afresh. And some of us need to hear the reminder word of God saying, I've told you to do this. What you're still doing here, go for it. And that's like for some of us, that can be, I want you to start a ministry. That can be like, I want you to go to the other side of the world. That can be like, I want you to stay here and give your everything. That can be like, I want you to forgive. I want you to let go. I want you to get tuned in so much into what I want to say for you, that everywhere you go, you bless people because you're tuned in. You're decluttered from your own self, your own things that's going on, that I've somehow got you into a place where you're able to hear me, and that every time someone comes in contact with you, that you will be a blessing to them. Because when we're cluttered, you know what happens? We just look at ourselves. We're just like, oh, it's the prophets that are getting killed. We look at, they're breaking down the altars. We look at, this is a hard place to reach. This is going on and that's going on. And it's all about self, and it's all about looking inward, and it's all about, how am I ever going to fix this? How am I ever going to do that? God says, just come aside, pull the cloak around, listen to my instructions, follow my instructions, and you will see everything else unfold. And Jesus says it this way, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things that you need in this world will be added unto you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, would you help us this week? Draw us into the place where we see you in private and we declare you in public. Lord, would you help us to shut out the world around us this week? The Bible talks about opening ears and all that stuff. And I pray the opposite tonight. Lord, shut our ears to the ugly, to the disappointment, to the discouraging. And open our inner ear to the lovely and the uplifting. Open our inner ear, Lord, to the instruction of Almighty. How do we do this? Here's my secret. I try to go to bed every night turning my affection towards Jesus before I go to sleep. It's an amazing little thing. I just say, you know what, Lord, I love you. You know what, Lord, I thank you for this day. I just turn my affection, Jesus, I love you. And see if I've done anything wrong in my day. It tries to rob me of that. And if I get to that place where I'm not willing to do it, It means I'm harboring something that I don't want to give up right now. And I get that right before God. And I go, Lord, I can't go a day without telling you I love you. But if I'm doing the opposite to what God wants me, I don't get into that place. Because I just don't want to face him. Are you with me? And then I wake up in the morning. The first thing I try to do is turn my affection to Jesus. And say, Jesus, I love you. And I thank you for this day. And will you lead me this day in what I should do? And they sound so simplistic that you probably go, give us a break. But what I'm trying to do is pull the clock around me every night and every morning. And say, Lord, I'm just turning my attention and my affection to you. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you're saying to me. Will you download into my spirit, even as I sleep, instructions and wisdom, insight, power, strength, joy, mercy, peace. When I wake up in the morning, I thank him. When there's something going on, I give it to him. Because I'm trying to not get cluttered. Because the next situation I go into and have a cluttered mind, how am I supposed to be a blessing to that person? How am I supposed to let a scripture come to my mind when I just get robbed by what's in there? And I pray this week would be the best week of your life in hearing God. I pray that this week would be such a week of decluttering those things of the old. Just keep putting them before God. Lord, there's that. I'm putting it before you. I'm decluttering my mind. I won't give that any more attention. I've given it to you. Or there's something else, a situation. Lord, I'm giving it to you. I'm not going to let it rob another moment of another ounce of energy from my thinking. I'm not giving a brain power, Lord, anymore. I'm giving it to you. I'm decluttering. I'm decluttering. I can't change that man. I'm decluttering. I can't change that woman. I'm decluttering. I can't change that circumstance. I'm decluttering. I give it to you. I give it to you. I give it to you. Lord, instead of fighting against not forgiving somebody, I give it to you and ask you for the grace to enable me to forgive, to let go. Every place, Lord, I'm fighting against your plans and your purpose. I declutter by surrendering. Someone says to me recently, I'm fighting on. I said, stop fighting, surrender. This Christian life successfully lived is about surrendering. It's not about disciplining the flesh. You can't discipline the flesh. You have to kill that sucker. It's about surrendering to the life that God has for us. Could I have Rabin and someone else back up? Not the whole team. But just the leaders in one of them quiet songs. And just as we do that, we can finish. We all need to declutter. We probably need to declutter on a daily basis. God has new instructions for some. He wants to remind you of all the instructions he's given that you haven't carried out. And he's like, what are you doing here? I can't give you new instructions till you follow the old. He says to Elijah, go back the way you came. So go back, do what you need to do. And come to the Lord again. And he'll give you the new instructions for the new season.